This is Alison Thompson. Welcome to Conversations with Authors. My guest today is Charlie Hollis. I first met Charlie at a business networking meeting, and having heard a little about his life, I was thrilled when he asked me to help him write his first book, My Healing Journey. Charlie works as a horse healer, and his book tells the story of his travels around the world, his exploration of his own spirituality, and his development as a healer. Charlie is also a great example of how writing a book can make a huge difference to your life. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Hello, Charlie. How are you?
Hello, Alison. I'm doing really, really well. Well, I mean, you know, lovely sunny day. I should be, I think.
Yeah, it makes a big difference, doesn't it?
Great, yeah.
So thank you for agreeing to be interviewed.
Pleasure.
I want to ask you, first of all, what inspired you to start writing?
That's an interesting question. I've always done a certain amount of writing, really, since I was a teenager. I did English literature at school, you know, and back in those days, it involved actually quite a lot of writing, not just kind of, you know, multiple choice type questions. Then in my sort of 20s, I used to write a certain amount of poetry. And in fact, I've always done that a little bit. Then did sort of more kind of creative type writing, flow of consciousness writing. In fact, when I lived in Scotland some years ago, I guess it was in the mid-90s, I started a small writing circle, which was a lot of fun. So I've always had this kind of pull towards writing, and the feeling was always in my mind to write a book. But of course, I mean, what do you write about? You know, lots of people have that thought, and it never goes much further than that. But that's kind of the background. Then the particular inspiration, of course, was when I met you at a business networking meeting.
And
you
talked to
yes.
It was me that unleashed the beast. Oh, dear.
It's all your fault. But, I mean, you talked about the coaching package that you offer to help, you know, new authors through their first book. And I remember I very rashly went up to you and said, Alison, I'd like to take on your services. I want to write a book. And it was like, whoa, dear. I was committed. I then went home and posted on Facebook that I was going to write a book. So, of course, all my friends knew. And that was it. I mean, I was backed into a corner and there was no getting away from it.
Oh, dear. That's quite a big thing to do, isn't it? To tell people you're doing it, because then you're kind of accountable. It kind of holds you to it once you've told somebody that you want to do it.
Yeah.
So your book, My Healing Journey, came out earlier this year. Mm-hmm. What have you learned during the writing process?
Wow. I won't, but I could talk for about 3 hours on that. The writing... Obviously, My Healing Journey, as the title implies, it's quite an in-depth and very personal book about my life journey. But the actual process of writing it was in itself a further journey. As I dug into things, as you know, I kind of pulled things out of my memory and started to put them down on paper. So I learned a lot more about myself, actually, during the process of writing, which was very, very interesting and very, very challenging as well. There were a lot of points during the writing process, because, as I say, it was a very, very personal book, where I hit that thing about, you know, dear, is anybody really going to want to read this stuff? You know, it meant a lot to me, but then I'm putting it down on paper, well, in my case, on the computer, and I'm looking at it and thinking, well, is anybody else going to want to read it? And that was where, you know, and I mean this very sincerely, that your support during the process was absolutely invaluable, because you were able to look at odd little sections and say, yeah, keep going.
Thank you.
You know, because, no, it's absolutely true. There could have been points had I been completely on my own, and I'm sure lots of people write a first book totally on their own, but there definitely could have been points when I might have sort of stopped or slowed down, thinking, well, this is just not going to appeal to anybody else. So I think one of the things I've definitely learned was to really have belief in myself. You know, whatever I decided to write, I'd made that commitment, and then to really, really believe in myself. But part of that also, I think, was definitely the discipline that I learned during the writing process. Again, something that you encouraged me to do in terms of finding a time of day that worked for me personally to sit down and write. Could be 3 a.m, it could be 4 p.m, it didn't matter. For me, it was usually around about mid-evening, and I would work from mid to late evening. That seemed to be, you know, the good time for me. And then, of course, the other thing, and again, it was an invaluable piece of advice, was to brain dump the whole book in a runner, in a sense. You know, not to sort of stop and start editing little chapters or bits here and there, not to edit at the end of the day, because that gets you out of the creative process into a kind of editing process. And that was really, really good, because what I found then was that even though I'd had a break of 24 hours between two writing sessions, I was still somehow in creative mode when I came back the next day. Yeah, yeah. So that was a very valuable lesson to learn, which I will take forward into my next book.
Yeah, no, that's good advice for other people as well, to just write, to don't worry about the editing and just get it written.
Yes.
And then there's plenty of time to edit it once you've got it down on paper, but get that done first.
Yeah. I did, in fact, was because I met a lady, I think it was sort of last summer. I was just about at the point of starting to write, and she'd been writing a novel for something like 2.5 years, and she'd done about 3 chapters.
Mm.
And, you know, I kind of thought that doesn't seem right. I mean, I know everybody's process is very, very different, of course. And I had a word with her after what you'd said to me, and she said that she would finish writing and then at the end of the evening, she'd spell check, she'd grammar check, and so on and so on. And I said, well, you might want to try this approach. And she said it made a huge difference. It enabled her to just flow and really to keep flowing. So that is, I think, actually crucially important, you know, that you allow the creative process to just keep flowing.
I can remember when you were writing it, there were, I think at one stage we were 7 weeks in and you'd written 70,000 words. And I mean, I can write a lot and quickly, but I was just completely blown away by how much you'd written in such a short space of time. I thought, yeah, this advice works, you know, it does.
It really does. And the other thing I found was that, you know, inevitably I would get to, well, I mean, not every time I sat down, but, you know, I would often sort of finish a piece or a couple of days writing and think, oh, I wonder if I could have said this and maybe that would have been better. But what I did then was I had another Word document with a sort of, for each chapter, additional notes. So I would simply, in that document, I would scribble down, add this, add that, talk about this person, talk about that person, so that then I didn't go back and put it in then. I did that on the rewrite.
Right, yeah.
So on the rewrite, I went through each chapter alongside of the notes that I'd made during the first draft process. And for me, that worked very, very well.
Yeah, again, it keeps you in the creative flow, doesn't it? So you can make a quick note, but you're not taking yourself away to research it or to kind of, replan something.
Yeah.
You can get everything out. And like you said, in a creative dump, just get everything out and then go back and fine-tune it and add bits and do the bits of research that you need then.
Yeah,
It's definitely the way that's worked for me, and yeah, I'm pleased that it worked for you as well. Really am. So how did you publish your book once you'd finished writing it?
Well, I went through the self-publishing process. I know, obviously, you know, that there are different ways, and you know, one can approach a publisher. That I know can be very difficult, can be very challenging. In fact, I'll come back to this maybe later, you know, while you're talking to me, about how to actually approach a publisher. I had no idea how to approach a publisher. I knew from what I'd heard that it was very, very difficult with a new author, a first book, to find a publisher. Very often your manuscript or whatever would hardly get, barely even be opened before it was thrown in the bin. So I went through the self-publishing process via CreateSpace. It seemed, you know, on your advice, to be a good way to go. I obviously there's advantages and disadvantages in both approaches, approaching a publisher and doing it yourself. Although interestingly enough, I heard at the weekend, I mean, you might have a different, slightly different angle on this, talking to a top publisher who said that even when authors publish through them, the publishing house does not do everything in terms of the promotion. It's still, in fact, 80% up to the author.
Yes, I've heard that as well. I've heard stories from people who got a publishing deal and thought that they were made, thought that they would just hand over their book and that would be it, and they'd be made famous and it would be a bestseller. And quite shocked to find out that, yeah, not only was their royalties very low that was sold, but yes, they had to do an awful lot of the marketing and the promoting of the book themselves. Which for me is the beauty of self publishing. It's completely in your control and you get decent royalties as well.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, obviously, I mean, in my case, it's available on Amazon, so I can also keep track very, very carefully. And the other thing is that I've got 5 reviews on Amazon, in fact, for the book. Mm. They're all 5-star reviews. And this has made a big, big difference. And what I was very gratified to see was that I think there's perhaps 2 or maybe 3 of those, 3 of those people who I do actually know personally.
Yeah.
But 2 are total strangers.
Oh, fantastic. Yes. When you start getting those, that's really satisfying.
It is. Because then I, you know, just out of curiosity, I'm thinking, how did they discover my book?
Mm.
But they did. And that's really all that matters.
Yeah. And I think especially for independent authors, I don't know if you found this, once you start getting reviews, it kind of gives your book some sort of credibility. A book with no reviews is quite hard to sell. But when you start getting the reviews, people view it in a different way.
That's absolutely right. Because in fact, this morning I was talking to a woman who I'd met for the first time. It was at a networking group. And she said, your book on Amazon is on my wish list. And she said, I was looking at the reviews on it.
Ah.
So that has caused her to want to buy it.
That's brilliant. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, that it does make a huge difference. So the book came out, I think it was end of March, wasn't it? Beginning of April.
That's right. Yeah.
What has happened in the sort of couple of months since then?
It has been monumental, actually. I think the very first thing was that when I published it and when I then got a box of books delivered to myself, I opened the box, I took out this book with me on the cover. it was almost hard to believe that it happened finally. And then of course I had my local book launch near Stowe just before I went away on holiday for a break. And that was very, very exciting. But I think what it did, it gave me credibility in my own mind, the fact that I can actually say I am a published writer.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though at that stage, obviously at the very early stage, there were almost hardly any books sold, but nevertheless, I was a published writer. And then as I started to get feedback from the book, initially, of course, I had some test readers read it for me before it even went to publishing, and then other people who bought it very quickly and gave me feedback, and the feedback was really, really good and very encouraging. It totally changed my feeling about myself, my belief in my ability as a writer and my confidence. And it has actually proved a very, very interesting and valuable tool for my business overall. It's a book that I actually use. I don't always just give it away, but there are situations in which I feel it's right to actually gift it to somebody.
Mm.
In a business type situation, a business networking type situation. And I'm finding that is proving actually very, very powerful. As a result of doing that at the weekend, plus a couple of other factors as well, I've been invited to speak in Birmingham in October. I've also got a speaking engagement here in Cheltenham at the Isborne Centre, partly as a result of giving my book out to somebody.
Fantastic, yeah.
And really sharing it. And that is opening up some very exciting possibilities. It's going to open up a whole kind of speaking career as well as a writing career.
I think that, yes, that's the thing that I discovered very quickly after my book came out, that somehow, I don't know any more than I did when I started, really.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
by taking what you've got in your head and putting it on paper in the form of a book, it suddenly raises you to some kind of expert status.
Yes.
And yet you're the same person that you were when you started. It's very, very strange. But it happens time and time again.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it's because 99% of people who say they'd love to write a book never do.
Yeah.
And therefore, the very few who do, just people turn around and look at them and think, oh, that guy's obviously really got something to say or knows something or whatever. And hopefully one knows something. But you're right. It seems to give one credibility in other people's eyes, even though they quite possibly have just as much knowledge or just as much to say. But you've been the one to take the step of putting it down on paper and then putting it out there. And that's a big, big difference.
So a career as a speaker beckons, by the sounds of it.
Definitely, yeah.
What other plans do you have for the future?
Well, largely as a result of the experience I had at the weekend. It was an event actually hosted by Hay House Publishers, and it was all about the whole speaking, writing, publishing process, the whole thing of marketing your book, because that's the other thing that I realized, actually. It really hit me at the weekend. I don't actually have a marketing plan for my book. Right. At the moment, it is largely through word of mouth, which is great, but I don't have a really firm marketing plan. And one of the things that, and again, I'm sure everybody will have a different opinion, obviously, but this was the president of Hay House, who, you know, is in a certain position of some experience and authority. His advice was that, you know, you need to think of having achieved at least 15,000 sales in your first year to begin to talk about having some success. And yes, when I heard that, I thought, whoa, I've got a little bit of a way to go. But I believe I can do it. And I'm going to start working with a woman called Janie Lee Grace, who is a BBC presenter. She's also a published author with Hay House. She's a speaker. And I'm going to undertake a coaching program with her to cover a whole lot of things in the marketing and PR field. Mm. And I've got really, really exciting prospects ahead of me, both for the speaking, for the further sort of, you know, promotion of this book and the subsequent book. Although what I've also realized, and again, everybody's going to be different, but one of the things that this gentleman said was, don't rush into your second book till your first book is really a success.
And okay.
That kind of made sense to me, actually, because I could see in a way there's a lot in this first one. I need to really capitalize on that, not only from the point of view of sales, but what it will do for me, my image, my reputation, my business, and then think about the next one. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to wait 3 or 4 years, but, you know, I might hang back just a little bit more than I'd initially thought on the next book. That's how I'm kind of feeling at the moment. Mind you, that might change. Who knows?
So can you give us any kind of hint about what the next book will be about? Have you got a topic in mind? Or?
Well, I have. A lot of people have asked me, people who know what I do in terms of my work as a healer, as a horse healer, as a hands-on healer, if you like. A lot of people have said, can you actually write something about that, about healing itself? That's quite a difficult thing to write about in a sense, in that it's not exactly a spectator sport.
Mm.
A lot of people will watch me, for example, if I'm working with a horse, which is a lot of my work, and to all intents and purposes, they see me actually not actually doing it. I'm not a horse masseur or an equine physiotherapist or anything, but I do have in mind how I could actually structure a book to talk about that. And it would be almost something in the way of case studies and experiences I've had with animals or with other people as well. And I'm actually planning a trip at some point to Idaho in the States, where there is an animal sanctuary. And they rescue really exotic animals like grizzly bears and wolves and all sorts. And a lot of people who work there are animal healers. And I'm planning at some point to go there for a month and to just give my services and work there and almost make that a part of the next book. But then having said that, what is coming out of the weekend, this last weekend, I need to really let all of that settle. I need to really process, because it could be that I might go in a slightly different direction. So mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, I would have said definitely the kind of book I've just described was on the card. Now, I'm not so sure whether it might be something slightly different. So we'll have to wait for the next installment, I reckon.
So watch this space to find out what happens next.
I think so, yeah.
So what advice or tips could you pass on to other aspiring authors who are maybe thinking about writing a book or have sort of started and are maybe not getting on as well as they want to?
Mm-hmm. I think there's a couple of things. Your target audience is important, although I would have to confess that I was not perhaps as firm on my target audience as I could have been, but that didn't actually stop me writing the book. The target audience for my book almost began to emerge for me as I was writing. Having said that, I think that what I've written could have a reasonably wide appeal. It might seem initially to have a narrow appeal, but then the book is a story on many different levels. You know, it is a life history. It's an adventure story, although it's all true. And, you know, I know some people who've read it, and some of the reactions I've had, there have been different things in the book have appealed to different people. Somebody I spoke to, well, this morning again, in fact, said, you know, they really loved all the travel aspect of my book and that kind of thing, which was fantastic. It was lovely because I wouldn't have sort of thought of targeting it at people who would necessarily be especially interested in that. So that emerged. One thing I think is very important, and I've found this in talking to a number of people. It's funny, when you write a book, or you start writing a book, it's amazing how many other people writing a book you seem to bump into. You know, I don't know what it is, the law of attraction or something. But I've talked to a number of people who do not have a plan for their book. They're just sitting down and writing. They're wondering why it's confusing. They're wondering why they've written a chapter and then they scrap it. And what I did, again, it was your advice. It was very sound. And I am reasonably organized in that way. So I suppose I might find it easier than some people would. I sat down and mapped out each chapter, what the basic kind of topic of the chapter was. I then went through and mapped out pretty much chronologically what I wanted to talk about. Obviously, this was my life story, so I was able to dig into my memory and pull things out. I had a lot of photographs of different parts of the world that I'd been to, which came into different chapters. I was also able to use those to kind of refresh my memory and give me kind of color to infuse into the writing. And then I also did a reasonable amount of online research because there were places that I visited, particularly when I was younger, as a relatively inexperienced and not very knowledgeable young man, you know, and I saw some pretty amazing exotic places around the world, particularly on my kind of overland journey from the UK to India, which I did in 1973, which is a journey you couldn't even do now from a safety point of view. Mm-hmm. And there were lots of interesting places that I saw, but I didn't necessarily know perhaps a lot of the detailed background or the history of them. So I actually researched some of that in order to give more authenticity, more detail, more color to different things that I was talking about. So all of that, I think, is very important. And I think you need to do it before you start the writing process. You need to have all of that done. Again, everybody is different. Some people might feel they want to write half the book and then do a little bit more research for the second half. I don't think it's set in stone, but I do think detailed planning and research is important because, again, it then allows the writing process itself to just flow with relatively little interruption. I think that's important because, you know, it can be difficult enough. I mean, I used to find, I don't know how it worked for you, but I would find that when I sat down to write, it might be 20 minutes or half an hour. I would only write a couple of hundred words, you know. That, of course, is the time when a lot of people give up. But I might go make a coffee or whatever. I'd come back and I'd sit there and just eventually it would start to flow and then it would flow. And I might suddenly find that 2,000 or 3,000 words later, up as 12 at night, I finished.
Yeah, I think I'm a lot the same. It takes me probably 10 or 15 minutes to get going. But yes, once I get going, the words just come and then it's very hard to stop me.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think you're right. I think a lot of people will sit down and especially if they haven't got a plan, will think, right, I'm going to write, and then nothing comes, and they get frustrated, and they give up. And, yeah, yes. It's that pushing past the point where you think, oh, maybe it's not going to happen. And having the plan there in place is really important to getting it out there, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's something to do. There's a mistaken notion that many, many people have about all creative processes, whether it's painting or writing, that somehow these things flow magically from the universe through me onto the paper. Well, there may be a certain point in the process when that is happening, and I think there is, in fact. You know, I would find that once I got into a real flow, then, yes, words were pouring out, and sometimes, you know, I'd turn around and look at the clock and, well, I really might just get some sleep. But kicking into that process is actually much more prosaic, much more boring, and all about discipline and about sitting down and making yourself sit there.
Yeah.
Then the creative thing does kick in, but it doesn't kick in magically. You know, it kicks in because you've made yourself sit there, you've switched off the phone, you don't get distracted because the words aren't flowing and go and check your emails or whatever it is. You just sit there Yeah, you maybe have a cup of coffee, fair enough. You've got to be a little bit gentle with yourself. But, you know, there is, for me at any rate, and again, I can only talk for the way it worked for me, there was that discipline necessary. And again, I often hear people say, you know, when they've sort of looked at my book and they said, oh, I could never do it. I could never make myself do it. Well, I suppose, again, it depends what you want and how much you want it. But I think a lot of it is discipline. It is a case of saying, that's what I'm going to do. I've decided I'm going to write. I've decided 9 o'clock at night is my time. And I'm going to sit there. Now, there's also a balance, because there were some evenings when I found that 300 or 400 words later, that was just all I was going to do that evening. You know, there was a limit. I couldn't grind it out anymore. And that's okay too. You have to say, well, fair enough. You have an odd day like that. But then the next day it might be, as I say, 2,000 or 3,000 words quite easily. So provided you can get a kind of sensible, disciplined balance with yourself, then I think it will happen. But I do think that that's something that people need to understand. It's not going to magically flow from the ethers through me onto the paper unless I make some hard human effort. I think that's important.
It's not going to happen by magic. It's like anything, isn't it? The more effort you put into it, the more you'll do and the better it'll be.
Definitely. But
you do have to put the effort in the first place. So, yeah, is there anything else that you could pass on? Any other words of advice for fellow writers?
I think that's, for me, was such a powerful part of the process. It's one of the most important tips I feel I would give. But the other one, I think, is to really believe in yourself, to trust, you know, that if you have something, if you have a book, whatever it is, whether it's a novel, whether it's a fantasy, whether it's an autobiographical thing, if you believe that it's worth writing, you are still going to hit rough patches. You're still going to hit, you know, periods when, for whatever reason, I mean, you know, you might have a bit of a cold, you're feeling under the weather, you know, and you're writing that evening and you think, oh dear, this is a load of nonsense. Who's going to want to read this? And I think you have to believe in yourself. And I would really also strongly, I have a kind of a tagline, a catchphrase, if you like, in life, that I believe life is a team effort. Now, you might say that writing a book is about the most un-team-like thing you can do, but I actually don't agree. Although in the end, yes, it was obviously only me who wrote my book, in the same way as you were the only one who wrote your book, but friends knew I was doing it. I looked for encouragement and support. Every so often I might put something on Facebook to say, you know, I'm getting on such and such or whatever. When I was struggling a little bit with the self-belief and the feeling that, you know, well, is anybody going to want to read it? I would talk to you. And I think that's actually quite valuable. Now, some people may feel it's a totally solo effort and they want to do it absolutely on their own. That's great. You know, I mean, all I can say is what worked for me. But what I think could help quite a lot of people, because, you know, in the end, we don't live in a bubble. We are all in life together. And even though the actual writing process is a pretty solitary one, I'm the only one holding the pen or playing on the keyboard. At the same time, it was a nice feeling to be able to say to somebody, I've got another chapter done. And they say, oh, great. You know, that sounds really good. It was just that little bit of encouragement, that little bit of a feeling that I wasn't totally on my own and that other people wanted to see it be successful. That was a really, really very affirming thing to have and to carry with me, that friends I knew, because they knew something of what I was writing about, I didn't give them all the detail, obviously, but they really wanted it to be a success. They really wanted it to be published. They really wanted to read it. And you know, I had to send it. I had to post it to various friends abroad in New Zealand and Italy and Austria and places. Because as soon as it came, I want one, you know, get it off to me in the post. and then they would sort of get back on Facebook, say, your book's arrived, you know, I'm going to bed with a cup of tea in your book.
Oh, that's really good, yeah.
Which was really sweet, you know, and very, very. So I for me, that was an important part of the process. Maybe that's just because I'm the kind of person I am. But I can only give tips and advice from the kind of person I am, really.
Oh, of course, yeah. But as you said, yes, there might be some people who can just shut themselves away and do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think there's an awful lot of people who could benefit from having support, whether it is a writing coach or a group of friends or you know, family or whoever it is around them. And like you said, once you tell people you're doing it, they do a good job of holding you accountable.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And as you say, there are the other people, because I have an old friend who wrote a book it's probably 10 or 11 years ago now. And he actually disappeared for 3 months in the winter to a Scottish island, just more or less locked himself away and wrote the book. And that obviously really worked for him. It's a good book. It's very successful. So he would not find my advice especially useful, but that's great. You know, it worked for him.
Yeah, it's very much find what works for you and go with it, I think. There is no one-size-fits-all solution. It's try things out and see what works for you in terms of where you write, the time of day you write, and how much you write, and yeah, who you talk to about it. So what your support is.
There is something else that comes to mind, I think, when you say what advice would I give. I think it's very, very important also to be yourself as you write, to let your style come through and evolve. I do know people who've made the mistake of trying to ape the style of another writer. Now, that is usually going to be a disaster. Maybe not always, but I think it's very, very important. I think a book has authenticity when it's your voice, whatever that is. I mean, my style of writing is, I suppose, in a sense, reasonably sparse, I think, might be the word. I'm not an especially flowery writer, although there is some quite descriptive, you know, stuff in my book. And that is just the way I write. And it's the way I've always written in terms of prose. It's actually the way I write when I write poetry as well. My poetry is quite simple in a sense, not over wordy. And I think that's very important, that you allow your kind of voice and style to come through, rather than sort of, you might want to read other books as a lead into your book, just to get ideas or, you know, a feeling for how to write. But then I think it's important to put other things aside, and to really allow your style, your voice, your flow to come through.
Definitely.
And then it's you, you know?
Yeah. I've always said this, that a lot of people say, well, you know, if I write a book, there's loads of books about X, Y, Z out there already. Why would anyone want to read a book that I've written? Well, for that reason, that it's a book that you've written, and it's your voice, your experience, your perspective, and that's unique. Yeah. And you're the only one that can do that.
Yes, yes. Yes. Yeah, I agree. I think that also maybe ties in with the confidence or lack of confidence that sometimes people may have when they're writing, or not only in writing, in life generally. The fact that, you know, we are all unique. We all have our experiences, and all of those experiences are valuable. Even if we may have been through similar things. It's very, very interesting. I've just been on holiday to Spain, where my youngest brother lives. Now, there's somebody who had the same background, obviously. Same parents, same schooling, and all the rest of it. And yet, in many ways, a vastly different experience, a vastly different person. His experiences of life, although in the earlier years, perhaps not in more recent years, in the earlier years were very similar to mine, yet because of who he is and his way of being and his processing of what happened to him, his whole viewpoint is very, very different. But equally as valid and as important as mine. You know, and the fact that I happen to be a big brother in the family doesn't give me any sort of better position or authority or anything else. His viewpoint, and in fact, he taught me a huge amount, even just in the recent visit I made to him. What I learned, what he things he was talking to me about, even though we've been brothers for 60 plus years, things I discovered about him that I didn't know.
Wow,
and,
yeah.
You know, insights that he had that I had no appreciation of him having. And that was a valuable lesson for me, and outlined the fact that, you know, if he chose to write a book, and I don't think he ever will, just not his thing, but if he did, he could make a huge contribution. So somebody might say, well, it's Charlie's brother. Is it going to be very different? and a lot of the things we did in our earlier days were fairly similar, it would be hugely different, and equally as valuable.
Yeah, yeah, because it's his unique perspective, which is going to be very different to yours.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, it's been fascinating talking to you.
Thank you.
I'm going to wrap this up now. But before we go, just be really good if you could give your book a bit of a plug. So just tell us what it's called, what it's about, and where people can get it.
It's called My Healing Journey, From Healing to Horses to Wholeness. It's a story of self-discovery. It's available on Amazon. And basically, it is a book. One of the things I do, I work as a hands-on healer, an energy healer, if you like, and I discovered that gift that I have back in the early 70s. And the story is about my discovery of that gift from that time right through to the present. But it's also about significant chapters and events in my life that contributed to the development of my healing gift, to my spiritual searching, my spiritual growth. It's an adventure story as well. A lot of it takes place in all sorts of exotic countries around the world. So it's a biography, an adventure story, but a thread running through the whole of my life. And it comes right up to the present. You know, the last sort of section concerned events that happened in the early part of this year, in March. So that's basically what it is. And I say, if anybody wants to have a look for it, they can find it on Amazon.
Yeah, it's by Charlie Hollis, H-O-L-L-E-S. You're the only Charlie Hollis in the world?
I think that's possibly true, yes.
So you're pretty easy to find.
I think so, yes indeed.
Well, thank you, Charlie. It's been brilliant talking to you today. And all the best with this book and with whatever else happens in the future. I think we'll have to talk again in maybe a year's time and see where life has taken you.
That would be lovely. Thank you very much, Alison. I really appreciate
it. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Charlie. To find out more about him, his book and his healing work, visit www.charliehollis.com. That's Charlie, C-H-A-R-L-I-E, and Hollis spelt H-O-L-L-E-S, charliehollis.com. To hear more conversations with authors, visit www.theprooffairy.com/conversations. I'm Alison Thompson, and I'll be back soon with another Conversations with Authors podcast. Bye for now.